It's 8:15 on the ticket, Thursday morning with the Musers. We've been wanting to do this for a while, assemble a flight attendants roundtable, because we have so many news stories, things that happen on planes around the world. So we have Stephanie and Jeffrey from American Airlines with us here in studio. One more segment because we have so much to get to, and we're going to get to air rage and drinking on the plane here in a moment, but I have a slight fear of flying. It's adult onset fear of flying, and I've had a couple of incidents, which I won't go into here, but okay. Do you guys ever think about that? And I don't want to put it top of mind because this is what you do for a living, but have you had a lot of scares in the air, close calls, anything like that? Or
I've had a couple of things happen, you know, over my 21 years, and they pop up and you deal with them. I don't go to work with the mindset of, hey, something's going to happen today,
right?
But that's what we're trained for, that's what we do, and I'm just like, you know what, here's a situation, let me take care of it and move on.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, it's just like everyday life, there's always going to be an emergency somewhere. So I mean, in your office, just like there is going to be on the plane. So I've had a situation with severe turbulence where it was pretty darn scary. But I mean, at the end of the day, you know the risks going into it. I mean, it's just like getting in a car. You know the risks going into it.
Did you feel you were going to die that day when you were in that bad turbulence? Did it cross your mind that this is it?
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely crossed my mind. That was the only time I've ever felt that way with turbulence. And I was kind of like, this is worse than just turbulence. We might not make it through this one.
Hmm. Did you freak out and start screaming confessions and stealing people's wallets?
No, absolutely not. But thank goodness everybody was buckled in. Nobody got hurt. So it really was a non-issue after the fact. But during, it's very scary.
When I think at the end of the day, you know what? We're human too. So just because I'm in a uniform and I have that, you know, fun face, or I'm that professional person you look at, I still have feelings and I still get scared too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? If you're scared, some of your flight attendants might be scared too, but not all of them. You know, we do this every day. So turbulence to me is not really a big deal. But when you have a situation where it might be a little more magnified than normal, yeah, we feel that.
I always do that
same thing too.
By the way, I look at the flight attendants, and if they look worried, then I get worried.
Yeah, and we know that.
But we're trained on a poker face. Yeah. That's one of the first things they train us.
Oh, really?
If you're
scared, don't show panic. Yeah,
they're going to be scared too. Yeah. So I try to keep that face on. It's not always possible.
That's where that whole keep a smile on your face comes from.
Yeah,
you know, if you look at me and I'm happy, then you're going to be happy too.
You never know who's watching.
Even when a drink card is hitting you in the head.
Yeah, well,
it's gone airborne.
It happens. We don't have a lot of room to work in. So, you know.
Jeffrey, where were you the day on 9/11? Were you flying that day?
No, actually, we talked about reserve. I was on reserve. I was at home in Fort Lauderdale, and my brother came flying into my room because I'm notoriously a deep sleeper. And he was like, hey, this is what's going on. And I'm like, yeah, no, those things don't happen. You know, this is just not possible, right? And so I looked down the hallway and this thing's on TV. So I was at home that day, and the call did come in that night that I was going to fly the next day on September 12th. And I had to call him back and say, hey, you know what? I can't do this. I can't go to work today.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing the chain of events and what happened, that, you know, the system was shut down and flights weren't operating. But yeah, I mean, I'm human. Like I said, you know, I just was like, wow, this is too much to process, and I can't do it.
Changed a lot, I'm sure, with training.
It did.
Yeah, you view passengers and all that stuff.
Yeah, the whole world changed that day.
Yeah.
Your world, my world, the airline world. So, yeah, definitely.
All right, let's talk about air rage. It seems like we have air rage stories daily. How much of this have you guys experienced? What is usually the cause? Can you trace a lot of it back to alcohol? How do you handle it? Is it a new world now with all the air rage incidents?
First of all, there's too much. Yes, we see it all the time. And I personally believe that it has a lot to do with people in stressful situations. People in stressful situations do awful, terrible things. They do things that they would never dream to do in their regular life. And that's what we see on the airplane every day. You know, they get in this metal tube with 150 people that they don't know, all pushing for a spot and a spot for their bag, and it turns into chaos very quickly.
And not only that, Stephanie, I think too, it's you know, you have to be at the airport 2 hours ahead of time. You have to stand in a line to check your bag. You have to pay for your bag. Then you have to go stand at checkpoints, right?
Security assaulted by TSA.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, there's a whole process, and I think it's a cumulative effect, right? But not only that, but you're traveling and you're like, hey, I'm going from point A to point B, but I have to stop here and change airplanes. So there's a mechanical issue. There's, you know, weather thing, right? So you've like, hey, listen, I've got 1 hour to change airplanes. I mm-hmm. don't know this airport. People aren't really helpful because there's tons of people here. There's something, a weather event going on, right? And you're like, all right. So you get stressed out and you say and do things and you act a certain way, but you would never normally do that in your everyday life.
And then you pour alcohol on top of all that stress.
It doesn't help. It makes some people fun, but not everybody, right? But it's, it is a factor.
Is there a minimum? Like how many drinks
you'll serve? A maximum?
Yeah, I guess, not a minimum, a maximum. Like if someone's, you know, when you see them get on, they've had a couple. Do you think in your mind, okay, I'm not giving that person more than one more drink?
There's no number. There's no number that we can or can't give them, but it is against federal aviation regulation to have an intoxicated passenger in the air.
Right.
It's against the law. It's against federal law.
I think so, too. You know, like to Stephanie's point, there's no magic number, right? So if I see somebody come on and I'm like, yeah, they've had a couple of drinks, whatever, but they're, you know, they're acting right. They're being good, cool. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, sure. You know what? No big deal. If they start getting loud and we're getting complaints or if they start acting up, yeah, you're done. That's it.
How do you break that to them? Because I've never actually watched.
We don't.
You don't?
No.
You just ignore. You take their order and then never bring it.
Well, we can do that. You know, that's that. I'll be right back thing, and you never show back up. But you know, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll bring them a cup of water. Here, have this. Just drink on this for a little bit. And a lot of times, you know,
why do you think I need water?
Well, but I mean, if they're, you know, that deep in, if they're that deep in, they're just kind of like, okay, you know, whatever. They're not going to act up. But if they're acting up, you know, you know, you diffuse it as best you can. And it's situational awareness, basically.
So, and if you're on the ground, you'll eject them. But if you're in the air, how bad does it have to get before you say, okay, we're going to divert this flight?
That's not my call.
That's the pilot.
Yep, that's up to the pilot.
Do you ever give that unruly passenger a parachute and eject them that way?
Only in my head.
But they're depending on you, right, for how bad is this person?
Right.
Yeah.
So they
will
divert. Communication is paramount.
So we're the eyes and ears of the cabin. That's what the cockpit crew always tells us. We're the eyes and ears. So if there's something going on back there, it's our job to communicate that to the cockpit crew so that they know what's going on and they can make decisions, educated decisions to alleviate the situation.
Right. Crew resource management is something that we train on. So like crew communication, just talking with them. They're behind they're up front, right? They're in the flight deck. They're locked behind a door. So we're not, but we've been taught and we are encouraged to communicate freely, openly. Here's the deal. Here's what's going on. Because they're the ones that actually have, you know, the authority to make a landing if they have to land, right? If something goes awry. But they wouldn't know that unless we tell them. So
do you guys know or are you told that there is an air marshal on the plane if there's one with you?
There's some things that we just can't discuss.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right.
Some things we don't
know. We are safety professionals.
And that doesn't come from us. I mean, it comes from a higher power.
So. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I wonder,
God?
I wonder
Jesus?
If the,
not the divine. But yeah.
Does the air marshal ever get involved in air rage incidents, or are they there just if the plane's about to be taken over?
There, like I said, there's just a lot of stuff that we can't talk
okay.
about when it comes to that program, because it's such a high level thing.
Yeah.
And you know, we can't get into it.
And we're super important. So
yeah,
that's good.
I was testing you guys because I'm an air marshal and I can't talk
you
anymore
like
about
right?
it.
You look like one. Yeah.
What's the most number of cocktails you've served to the cockpit during a flight? Is that allowed?
Zero.
Okay. Zero.
We can't talk about
it. Be a whole different world, right?
I have seen you handle some really, not you two specifically, but flight attendants handle some really volatile situations before. One guy was just unruly. We had to divert.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned the marshal. Sometimes you do lean on passengers who maybe, like, there was a military person that was on board, and they asked his help, and he helped them out
right.
with this person. In fact, when we landed, he happened to have, I think he took a belt and put it around the person's arms and took them out.
Yeah, do you guys, wow, have you ever had to zip tie somebody's wrist?
Thank God, no, I haven't.
Just every year for qualification training.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We get to practice on each other.
That's part of that hot stuff.
Yeah, so we do have restraints on board. I thankfully haven't had to use them, but there are a few times a year that I think we, as a group, a flight attendant group, do have to do that.
Have you ever busted passengers joining the Mile High Club?
Wow.
Or trying.
Never.
It's going
and
south
if
quick.
I do,
tell us about it.
I shame them so hard for doing something like that in such a nasty environment. Disgusting.
You know, I have to say yes. I did years ago.
Join the club?
No, I didn't join the club. Well, we won't talk about that. It's, you know, but I did. There were some other passengers who were like, hey, two people just went in that lavatory. And I was like, all right, cool. So I just took a meal cart, beverage cart, and I parked it right in front of the door so they couldn't open it.
Really?
And I went up front and I got a bottle of champagne and waited for them to come out. And I was like, here you go. How's it going? You know? And they were a little bit surprised, but they were kind of like, yeah, okay. Well,
that's a good gag.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
You know?
You ever do a gag where you like start looking really nervous and let the passenger see you put on a parachute?
Yeah.
I think that would be kind of a fun
every
joke.
Time we start descent, I always want to yell out, "We're going down!"
Gosh.
Oh my God.
Well, it's true.
I don't think it would go over very well.
No, not at all.
What do you think the percentage is of people who are paying attention when you're going through the safety procedures at the beginning?
Maybe one.
1%?
Maybe one. You think there's more?
I think it depends. Like, a lot, you know, these days, right? So they have these videos and your seat back. And so people, you know, they're busy. They're on their phones. They're talking to each other, whatever. But I think on some airplanes, when you're actually doing it and you're in the aisle and you're standing there, people see you. They notice you and they look up. So I think there's maybe more than one or two, but
I try to pay attention because I feel bad if no one's looking at you.
Well,
I still do that, too.
Oh, so it's not a safety
even when
thing
I'm
with
traveling.
You.
No, I don't care about the safety thing. I don't want you to feel bad. Yeah.
I do the same thing when I'm a passenger. I pay attention to every single thing, even though I'm like, I know this stuff. There's no reason for me to do, but
it's a common courtesy,
yeah,
right?
It is. Yeah,
professional courtesy.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Do you have opinions on your uniforms?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Because I know that there's been controversy at times when they revamp the uniforms. Mm-hmm. And some people like them and some people hate them. Would you like to have more flattering uniforms or more just everybody look the same uniforms or what?
You know, if you're asking me, I'm like, look, you know, I just want a uniform that people aren't going to have issues with. So, you know, I haven't had any personally. I have not had any issues with the uniform. I do have an alternate uniform that I wear, which is fairly similar to what's been issued. But I just want to go to work and not have my coworkers get sick or, you know, break out in a rash or whatever it may be. And it's not just at my carrier, but there's other carriers as well that have had issues.
Did they ever solve that problem? This was when it was American that changed their uniforms, right? And people were having some reaction to the fabric that they were using.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Alaska Air had the same issue years ago with one of the uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't speak to that per se, but I know that, you know, there are steps that are being taken to get something new, to replace the uniforms and actually bring something in that has gone through a total, you know, revamp, but eye on everything. This is what we're doing. I think there's an OCATEC standard, with the way like possession of materials and what is being used in it and in those types of things so that people aren't having reactions to chemicals and things like that.
But what about like real hot uniforms? Like both of you people are hot people, so don't you want things that show off your
thank you.
Bodies?
You know, I don't appreciate the hot uniforms only because we have tasks to perform on the aircraft.
Yeah, Gordon.
Yeah, but that's why you need
right.
You know,
I understand the man's perspective.
Performance material.
Yes, I understand. Oh yeah, wear that super short skirt and bend over and grab your soda in your car, right?
Yeah.
No, that is not what flight attendants are looking for. You know, something that's long enough and that we can move in, because you have to keep in mind we're safety professionals. So if somebody goes down and needs compressions in the air, you think a skirt is going to be very conducive for that? Probably not.
Right.
No, if I need compressions in the air, you have my permission to take off my skirt. You need to loosen that so I can
breathe.
I'll keep that in mind.
But you know, everybody
diaphragm can work.
Everybody wants
both
to look good, right? So yeah, flattering to a certain degree, but also, you know, Just make it practical, you know? So, I mean, there you go.
Practical and safe. Yeah. I think safe is all we're really looking for at this point, because we've had so many issues with the uniform, and there were so many promises about this wonderful uniform that they're rolling out. And then, you know, our coworkers are getting sick by just sitting next to somebody that's wearing the uniform.
Like those Korean Air uniforms. You ever seen the ones
yes.
they wear?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell you what. Those
women look
the best
good.
Ones. Mm-hmm.
Those Asian carriers, they're on point. I got to tell you. I mean, they come off the airplane and you're like, they're all in a line. They're just, makeup is great. Uniform is spotless.
Looks like you're on a movie shoot.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
I've always wanted one of those cute little hats.
I know, the little billfold hats around.
Yeah.
Is there a rivalry between American flight attendants and, say, you see United or Southwest or someone, as you're walking through the terminal, does a brawl ever break out, like an Anchorman?
Yeah, like
a dance-off?
Right?
Yeah.
I think, like, you know, Facebook has changed the world, right? So people get sassy and, you know, put these little memes on there, and they're like, oh, we're better than this one and that one and, you know, whatever. But, no, you know what? When I walk through the airport, you know, I could be in Chicago, right? Let's use United. And I'm walking through the terminal, and I'm going out to pick up out front, getting on the bus, and the United crew is walking by, and they're like, hey, how's it going? Like, we get each other. We understand.
A knowing nod.
Perfectly
right,
honest.
Yeah.
It's more of a secret society than anything. If we see another flight attendant, we both know something about each other that nobody else knows. So there's already camaraderie between the two of us. Mm-hmm. So we don't really have that as much. I mean, we'll make fun and joke about it, but there's never really any rivalries, I would say.
Yeah, it's a professional thing. So, like, for you guys, you know, if you met another
DJ,
you know, a personality from another station, you guys get it. Like, you know what it's about.
Yeah,
right?
Sometimes we do, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes we square off with them.
Well, yeah, sometimes you have to.
Sometimes there's light gunplay.
Right, yeah.
We'll tell you the Nasty Nester story another time.
Yeah. He's been assaulted several times.
Oh, wow.
Who?
Well, we can't thank you both enough for coming up here, answering all of our questions. This was very enlightening. And safe travels, Stephanie, Jeffrey, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been a ton of fun.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
And sorry that I'm shirtless. I've spilled something on my shirt.
It's all good. You guys have a great day. Thanks so much.
That's our flight attendants roundtable. It's 8:32 on the ticket. Now, coming up next, we're going to offer equal time. We have a pilot who wants to join us.